right, thank you very much. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 14 today. First Samuel chapter 14, where we're going to be. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. And we're going to be verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament we're going to be looking at this morning. I apologize to you for my voice. I'm fighting something, so you're going to have to put up with this voice for the next few minutes. Hopefully the Word of God and the Spirit of God will do a better job speaking than I'll be able to. I love Hiles Anderson College. I love our church. I love and the Christian home. God's been so good to us, hasn't he? For the sake of this sermon, you and I are going to be Jonathan. See, Jonathan grew up in a palace. And you and I, we didn't grow up in a palace. But I would argue God's been better to me and you than he'd been to Jonathan. See, I was just a few months old when a man knocked on my parents' door and told my dad, a steel worker up here in East Chicago, inland steel, that he could know 100% sure he was going to heaven. And that day my dad trusted Christ as a savior. You see, I grew up in the palace of a Christian home. Have you? When I was 4 years of age, 1976, my dad put his five children, I was the youngest in kindergarten, put us in the Anabaptist schools at great expense to him. Again, he just was a steel worker, you know, not the type of family who's going to, you know, pay for five kids to go to private school, but he did that. I grew up in the palace of Christian school. You do that? 3 years of age, we started attending the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And time will not permit me to give you a list of people that would take me the rest of the morning to name that God brought into my life. Man, good people. I grew up in a palace of a local church. Did you? Prince. Man, good Christian friends. Not perfect, right? Because, you know, we princes, we're not perfect either. But good Christian friends, right? Some of whom sitting next to you. Good Christian friends. Boy, the palace of just good influences. I don't know how good your friends are, but Jonathan's best friend, he wrote Psalm 23, okay? David. However, good Christian friends, hey, you have good Christian friends? Kind of a lot like Jonathan, aren't we? But for some of us, these things that are alike with Jonathan, we just mentioned them all, but maybe we don't have some of these other traits that we're going to look at in this story today. But as we read through this story, can you be Jonathan in this story? Because like I would say, Jonathan was royalty. And you and I, we've grown up like royalty, many of us have. Let's notice Jonathan's attitude, his actions, his faith, his fight, his demeanor, right? Notice it in this story as we pick up here in verse number 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over under the garrison of these uncircumcised." That's the Philistines. They're in the middle of a war with the Philistines. Notice this statement. "It may be that the Lord will work for us." There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. His armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart." Notice verse 8, 9, and 10. Notice the plan here. "Jonathan, then said Jonathan, behold, we'll pass over to these men. And you know what we'll do? We'll discover ourselves unto them. And if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. But if they say, you know, come up unto us, then we'll go up unto them. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. This shall be a sign unto us And both of them discovered themselves in the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of their holes where they had hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, for we will show you a thing." Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel." Notice this very descriptive verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And there fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. If you just look over to verse 23, because I will get to this eventually. Just verse 23, that verse statement. Notice what it says. So the Lord saved Israel that day. So the Lord saved Israel that day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us. Lord, as we accounted some of that, and I know not everything that I mentioned, whether it was a Christian home or growing up in church or maybe a Christian school, applies to everybody in this room. But what applies to everybody under the sound of my voice is, Lord, you have been good to us. You have uniquely blessed us as a group of people. Lord, help us to have enough character, have enough desire, have enough Holy Spirit leading to want to take all the good that's been poured into our lives. And Lord, just trust you and follow you and look for a fight where you can step in and do something great with us. Lord, I pray that would be our desire. Lord, as we look at this story, please use me. I pray that you would use your word and Holy Spirit. Please speak through what I'm about to say. And I pray that you would really do the speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, Jonathan was a prince willing to fight to see the Lord work. A prince willing to fight to see the Lord work. Hey, you remember, we're the prince this morning, right? We're Jonathan. Can we just be honest about us? Living in a palace, it can make you soft, right? You have plenty of people in the palace where you can order them, hey, go over there and fight those Philistines, right? And you might think that you're strong just because you grew up in a palace, but sometimes the palace can make you a little flabby, you know, and a little soft. Hey, guys, I think many of you in this room, you understand and you would take that word as an insult, that word soft. Is that what we want to be for God? We want to take all the good and all the blessings of God, and that's what we're going to be? We're going to be soft? Can you be a prince that will look for a fight for God? Hey, understand, I know the palace isn't perfect. And you might think, Brother Woosley, I don't know if you can compare me to Jonathan. Let me tell you something. Hold on a second. Jonathan had plenty of excuses too. You know, you start at the beginning of this chapter, you're going to see Jonathan's dad, King Saul, sitting under a pomegranate tree, backslidden. He'd already gotten the kingdom taken away from him in the chapter before this, right? Jonathan could have easily pointed to a leader in his past and said, that guy's let me down. You know what? I'm not going to go fight Philistines. It's his job to fight Philistines. No, he was a prince willing to fight to see the Lord work. It may be that the Lord will fight for us. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. We look at the attitude of that prince. Boy, I pray that would be my attitude. I pray that would be our attitude. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Hey, Lord, would you use me? Would you use me? If I step out on faith, if I get to work, could it be that maybe you would work with me, that you would work in my life, that you would work for me? Don't allow the palace to make you soft. Jonathan could have pointed to somebody else and say, look, let him do it. Let my dad do it. Let that guy do it. He should be fighting and not sitting on the pomegranate tree. Why should I go fight? You could find excuses if you want to. Hey, how about this excuse? Maybe Jonathan could have said, hey, when I become king someday, Yeah, we're going to kill us some Philistines. No, that's not what he said, is it? No, as a prince, as a young man, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, hey, hey, what do you say we go kill some Philistines? How about that? Can that be your attitude today? Hey, there is no restraint to the Lord. Do you have to be a pastor? Right? No, you could be a prince, and the Lord can use you to save Israel, right? The Lord could do something great with you. You don't have to wait. Hey, luckily, Jonathan didn't wait, because Jonathan never became king, did he? We wouldn't have any great stories of Jonathan if he wouldn't have served the Lord as a prince. Hey, like you, be willing as a prince to look for a fight, because maybe the Lord will use you. He was a prince who wasn't content with just living in the palace, allowing other people to do the work, allowing other people to serve him. He was a prince willing to fight to see the Lord work. Look at this verse, Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Pause for just a moment. Hey, could you just agree with me for a second? That's me and you, right? Has the grace of God been real to you in your life? Doesn't it seem like there's just an unfair portion of grace that's been given to us, right? When you look at the rest of the world, when you look at the rest of our country, when you look at young people your age, would you not agree that somehow God has given us a bigger piece of the pie of his grace? I don't know why, but it sure seems like that's the case in our lives. Okay, can I tell you something? The grace of God, it should be teaching us something. We should be learning through this grace. What should it be teaching us? Look at denying ungodliness, worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. All too often, the grace of God doesn't teach us to deny, right? No, the grace of God, we take and we take and we take, and again, we get fat. We get lazy. No, no, no. Allow the grace of God to teach you that there's something worth denying. There's something worth living for. There's something worth fighting for. Can you learn through grace? Can you take the blessings of God and do something great with it? Hey, just so you know, it's not normal. What king do you want to look at? How about King Solomon? Well, I believe it's chapter 12 of 1 Kings. The Queen of Sheba comes and visits and says, boy, the half has not been told, right? About Solomon's kingdom, an amazing kingdom. Next chapter, God is leaving Solomon. Why? Because he's married all these strange women and he's worshiping idols. What happened? The palace made him soft. The palace made him soft. How about a king by the name of Jehoshaphat? A good man, by the way, a second generation Christian who grew up in a palace, who grew up in a Christian home. And all of a sudden we see him buddying up with Ahab, saying, I am as thou art. You know what happened? Jehoshaphat, the palace, made him soft. Hey, can you learn through grace? Can you take the grace of God and do something with it? Or is it going to make you soft, Mr. Jonathan? Is it going to make you soft, Prince? Can you be a prince looking for a fight to be used by God? Hey, that's not normal, Jonathan. Can you do that? Number two, I notice in this story, Jonathan's faith moved him to action, moved him to action. You know, when you look at verse 6 up there, Jonathan is in his camp, probably other soldiers around him, and he makes that statement. And when we read that a few minutes ago, I heard some amens as we read it. What an awesome verse. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few, right? Hey, hold on now. I hear the amens in here. Hey, it's a whole lot different to say that or to say amen in Hiles Anderson College Chapel. There's a difference between saying that and doing this. Notice that verse. Climbing on your hands and your feet up the hill. Hey, and up here, 20 Philistines. Just two of us. Hey, there's a big difference between saying, hey, it may be the Lord will work for us. Amen. To say by many or by few. There's a big difference in running your mouth and climbing on your hands and feet up the hill, pulling out your sword and start killing some Philistines. Hey, there's a difference, isn't there? One's with your mouth, the other's with your actions. I heard the amens. Hey, and I'm with you. I love that verse. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Okay. Now climb on your hands and feet up the hill. Let's kill some Philistines. Do you have a faith that's motivated to action? To action. Do you have a desire in your heart to see the Lord work in your life in such a way? You'll do something pretty foolish, right? Pretty foolish. Kind of like David. David, anointed king, swinging a slingshot at a 9-foot-9-inch giant. What are we doing, David, right? Samuel had to look down there like, hey, isn't that kid that I anointed king? He's about to get himself killed, right? Hey, you know what? David, he was looking for a fight. Anointed king, looking for a fight. This guy, Jonathan, a prince. He didn't have to climb up on his hands and feet. He already lived in the palace. But you know what? He had a faith that motivated him to action, to action. Hey, let's get real practical for a moment here. Is there anything in your life contrary to the word of God? Is there any spiritual impulse that you're not obeying? Is there something in your life that shouldn't be there? Hey, can you climb on your hands and feet and just kick that thing to the curb? Right? Is there something in your life that you know that should be there and it's not? That you know you should be working on and you're not? Can you climb on your hands and feet up that hill and get to work on that? Make that a part of your life? If you need to kick something to the curb or if you need to start doing something, is there anything in your life that doesn't line up with that book? Faith is your response to the word of God. Boy, you hear Pastor Wilkerson say that. He says this, faith is believing enough to obey. To obey. That's faith. Do you see that here in Jonathan? You see that? Hey, we're Jonathan in this story, right? We're Jonathan. We've been given a lot. Hey, we say amen to that verse, right? And I'm right there with you. But when am I climbing on my hands and feet, pulling out my sword and killing some Philistines, right? Does it motivate you to action? Number three, the armor bearer was with the right person. Boy, I like this one. I know I'm endorsing my own note, okay? But I like this one. All right, this is a good one. For just a second, we'll get back to Jonathan here in a minute. And I want to talk about this point from Jonathan's perspective because, again, we're Jonathan, okay? But for just a minute, hey, 60 seconds, hey, can you just think, are you with the right person? Hey, because you know what that armor bearer saw? That armor bearer saw this. He saw Jonathan's backside, right? He was behind Jonathan, climbing up behind Jonathan. And when he got to the top of that hill, you know what that armor bearer saw? He saw dead Philistines. It'd have been a bad day if he'd have got to the top of the hill and saw a dead prince, right? Luckily, he wasn't climbing up the hill with Barney Fife. He was climbing up the hill with a warrior, right? Otherwise, he'd have been in trouble. Hey, who are you with? He makes that statement, I am with thee. Hey, good choice, Mr. Armor Bearer. You're with a warrior. Hey, better yet, you're with a guy that God's with him, right? Hey, you got somebody in your life that maybe you shouldn't be with? Be very careful. That wrong person might get you killed, right? Be careful. Hey, first of all, make sure you're with God, right? Make sure you're with God. Hey, anything contrary in your life, contrary to what God said, boy, make sure you're with God. Hey, there are people in your life that maybe they're not a guy like Jonathan that has a Lord with him. Hey, be careful who you're following, right? Hey, understand that. Be careful who you're following. Now, I told you 60 seconds, so let's get back to Jonathan. Let me tell you where this speaks to me. Hey, we have people following us. There's people counting on you not to be Barney Fife. There's people following you up the hill. Are you going to help them win a victory? Hey, Owen, I saw you singing up here. And I'll pick on Owen, and I could, there's dozens of you out here that I see that I know well and that I love. Hey, Owen, he's with me. He's with me. I don't want to get him killed at the top of the hill, right? I'm Jonathan. I got people following me. And that young man deserves better than for me to be some weakling, right? That God can't use. There's people following me. There's people following you. Many of them, you know their names. Some of them, you haven't met yet, but they're counting on you to become that Jonathan that they're going to follow up the hill and see the victory of God in their life. Be a Jonathan. Make sure you're the right person, because that armor bearer was with the right person. And Owen, he deserves me to be the right person. And so do those people in your life. That armor bearer was counting on Jonathan. Counting on Jonathan to really have the Lord with him. Counting on Jonathan to know how to fight. Let's move on. I know I almost endorsed my next point. I like this one too. Okay. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Now, first of all, let me tell you, that's an interesting quote. It's about by a football coach, a man by the name of Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells coached the New York Giants. Coached possibly the greatest defensive football player who ever played, a man by the name of Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor was an animal, outside linebacker, and just wreaked havoc on offenses. He said, culture eats strategy for breakfast. What it meant by that is who you are is more important than whatever play you design or whatever self-help book that you're reading. Hey, I'm a coach. I believe in strategy. And a good strategy is helpful. But let me tell you something. Many of you are watching basketball, and we've seen basketball lately. Hey, if your team won't work hard on defense, it doesn't matter if you have them in a 2-3 zone, a man-to-man defense, some fancy little 1-3-1 trap. It doesn't matter. They're not going to play good defense, right? Let me tell you, if your team can't shoot the basketball, it doesn't matter what kind of fancy out-of-bounds play you draw to get that guy open to shoot the brick, right? He's not going to make it. So the strategy isn't all that important. Who you are is more important than your strategy. Now, let's review their strategy, those three verses. Number one, let's discover ourselves to the Philistines. Well, let's see. There's two of you, 20 of them. They're at an elevated position, all bad. The only advantage you have is, okay, we have the element of surprise. No, not anymore. Not anymore. Oh, man, I remember when I was a little boy, probably in grade school, my dad was sleeping on the couch, snoring on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm the youngest of five kids. I'll try to paint the picture, but it's in the living room. And there is a doorway from the dining room into the living room. And my older brothers and sisters, two of them, my oldest brother John's 9 years older than me, and he was probably freshman, sophomore in high school. And he was leaning around the corner. My dad's asleep on the couch snoring, and my dad could snore as loud as you can yell, okay? And he was snoring, and my brother John would go, oh. Now, why he was doing that, I have no idea. And my sister Joni, who is a nut, okay? She's 6 years older than me. My sister Joni was going, like they would take turns doing this. And they would do that, and then they would put their head back because they were worried my dad was going to wake up. And when my dad woke up, if you startled my dad, then he was a little bit angry. Like he never knew what was going to happen. You didn't want to startle him. And we all know that. So there's five of us. I'm like in second grade or so. And we're all leaning around the corner. And my brother John, my sister Joni, were taking turns going, okay. And sure enough, one of those times, my dad, you know, wakes up, looks over, and all four of them had pulled their head back around the corner. And I'm like, you know, and my dad said, James, get up to your room, you know. Now, nothing ever happened, but I had to, you know, take the walk of shame, you know, up to the room. You know what? I don't know if Jonathan and his armor bearer were at the bottom of this hill. You know, at these Philistines. I don't know what they were doing. Oh, you know, cat call. I don't know. But they were discovering themselves to the Philistines. Hey, that's not a good strategy. There's two of you and 20 of them. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Here's the plan, okay? All right. So, if they say, hey, what are you guys doing down there? We're going to come down there. Then we'll fight them down here. Okay? All right. And if they say, hey, you guys come up here, then we'll fight them up there. All right? Ready? Break. I mean, that was their plan. What kind of a plan is that? That's not a good plan. Hey, can I tell you? Jonathan's strategy did not win the battle. Jonathan was a warrior that had God with him. That's why he won the battle. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're lazy, it doesn't matter what kind of strategy you put with that, you're going to struggle. Wisdom from above is first pure. If you're not a pure person, mentally, morally, hey, you're going to struggle. Who you are is more important than whatever strategy you want to tie with it. Hey, I'm all about strategy. I'm all about, you know, you setting up your life to succeed. That's all good. But who you are is most important. Do you forgive? Are you kind? Do you have anger issues? Hey, who Jonathan was more important than his strategy. And lastly, number five, very important. The fight was bigger than Jonathan versus 20 Philistines. The fight was bigger than that. Hey, you've done an excellent job listening. And as we think through this, remember, you're Jonathan. Can you understand that your fight this morning, whatever it is, it's bigger than just you? You see, when Jonathan said, there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few, I think when Jonathan uses that word save, I think he's thinking 20 Philistines, right? 20 Philistines, that God could use us to kill 20 Philistines. That's not what God was thinking. God wasn't thinking 20 Philistines. God was thinking Israel, right? The Lord saved Israel that day. I believe the Philistines in the life of the nation of Israel is a picture of sin. They constantly, the Israelites constantly, although they were in the promised land, like us, in the Christian life, they constantly had a battle with those Philistines, right? Constantly. And you'll constantly battle sin. Hey, what is it? What is it that you're battling with? Can I encourage you? It's bigger than just that battle. Hey, and I don't minimize the battle. 2 versus 20, that's a big deal, isn't it? That's quite a battle. But it's even bigger than that. What is it? Maybe discouragement? Maybe it's bitterness in your life? Maybe it's lust in your life? Maybe it's a character flaw in your life? Hey, you're in good company. Jonathan had a battle, right? Hey, can I tell you something? Fight it. Win it. Win it. Because the battle's bigger than just you. It's bigger than you and your armor bearer and 20 Philistines, right? There is a nation that hung in the balance that day. So God, the Lord, saved Israel that day. The fight was bigger than Jonathan and his 20 Philistines. It was bigger than that. Now, I don't know how the Lord wanted to speak to you today. Let me tell you something. I have no doubt in my mind. This is what you're supposed to hear this morning. Hey, what do you need to do with that? Are you a prince that maybe you've allowed yourself to become a little bit lazy because you've grown up in the palace? No. God deserves better than that from us. Faith moved with action, right? Not just saying there's no restraint to the Lord, climbing up on your hands and feet and fighting. Right? Make sure your faith has those feet. Make sure you're the right person, right? That armor bearer said, I am with thee. Make sure you're the right type of person. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. I'm all about a good strategy, but make sure you're the person that you're supposed to be. And remember, the fight is bigger than just you. It's bigger than just me. It was bigger than just Jonathan and his armor bearer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. Boy, I look out over this crowd with fine young people. With great potential. Lord, I can't help but think that there are future families, there are future ministries, maybe a youth group, a Christian school classroom, maybe a church that's counting on the young people in this room to be the Jonathan that they're supposed to be, to take all the good that the palace affords and say, you know what, Lord? Would you work with me? Would you help me? Would you use me in a great way? Lord, I don't know how many times I've heard that Christian schools and church youth groups, man, they produce a lot of good kids, but not great kids. That's number one, I don't believe that. Number two, that should not be. That should not be. Lord, use us in a great way. I pray we'd have a desire in our heart to just follow you, to love you, to look for a fight with your help. Lord, however it is that you spoke to us as these words were preached, as we looked at this story from the Bible, Lord, I pray we'd allow it to make a difference in our lives. Lord, your head's bowed, eyes closed. Again, I don't have a specific question for you. There are 5 points we looked at, all of which could have been an entire sermon. But is there something that was mentioned where your faith needs to become action, where you need to put some feet to your faith, where you actually need to climb up on your hands and feet and start fighting, or whatever that is? Can you make that decision today that, Lord, there's going to be a difference? I'm going to allow this story from this prince like me to make a difference in my life. Lord, thank you for giving us so many good things. In Jesus' name, amen.